It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, the fourth commandment, other 10 commandments, read as follows: remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thine work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thine son, nor thine daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and hallowed it, sanctified it, set it apart. And on today we're going to learn about this particular fourth commandment, a commandment that is still in effect today in terms of the moral implications, the principles behind it. Remember, in the Old Testament, there are laws, laws that are good, just, and holy. We do not keep the ceremonial laws, per se, because they were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I've come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. We don't keep the ceremonial laws, but we keep the moral principles of the law. We keep the ethics and the moral of God's word as Christians. And point number one, this particular commandment teaches us to recognize God as creator. This particular commandment, honoring the Sabbath, teaches us to recognize God as creator. The book of Genesis chapter 2 on down confirms this. Heaven and earth were finished by God's mighty hand and all the host of them. On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. He rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. He blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. And he began to cease from his labors. When the Bible says that God rested on the seventh day, it does not mean that God is tired. God is omnipotent, all-powerful, almighty. His power is inexhaustible. This particular saying, he rested on the Sabbath day, means a ceasing from his creative labors, a ceasing from his creative work, a ceasing from his labors. And what this particular Sabbath is teaching us is that when we have the Sabbath day celebrated, we are recognizing God as creator, ceasing from our labors and celebrating him. It's an opportunity to cease from our labors and celebrate him as creator. Exodus chapter 31 verse 18 teaches that this was a covenant between God and Israel to recognize him as creator, to cease from their labors and to celebrate God as creator, to recognize him as God Almighty, the creator of the universe. Psalm 19 verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. When we look at the stars are billions and billions and billions just in one galaxy. Hundreds of billions of stars in just one galaxy. And then there are hundreds of billions and billions and billions of galaxies in existence. So many stars as the sand by the seashore. Innumerable, and each particular star is different from the other. Each particular star has its own name, the Bible says. This teaches that there is a creator, that these things don't happen by happenstance or circumstance. Only an almighty God can create so many stars that there's not enough time to count them. Yes, there is a finite number of stars. There is a limit on how many stars that God made. But there's not enough time created to count them all because there's just so many of them. When we see that each snowflake is different, each blade of grass is different, each person is different, down to their fingerprint, to their DNA, this is God's divine diversity. And this particular commandment causes us to step back, cease from our labors, and recognize God as Creator. If we see God as a Creator, then we see Him as a loving God, a kind God, and we're drawn to Him to salvation through Jesus Christ. This is called the general revelation of God, where all can look up at creation and know that there is a God. The Bible speaks throughout the Old Testament and New Testament that God is Creator. Isaiah 45 talks about God as Creator. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. All things were created by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The Bible says in the book of Colossians chapter 1 that all things were created by Jesus Christ. In verse number 16, for by Him were all things created, things that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Verse 17, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist or cohere or are held together. Everything is being sustained and maintained by the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6 speaks of God and Jesus as Creator. In the beginning, God planned creation. In the beginning, Jesus implemented creation. And in the beginning, the Holy Spirit executed creation. All at the same time. This particular Sabbath celebration, this particular fourth commandment, the commandment to keep the Sabbath, allows us to recognize God as Creator and be drawn to such an awesome, spectacular God as the Creator, being drawn to Him in salvation. Point number two, this particular commandment allows us to recognize God as Redeemer. Allows us to recognize God as Redeemer. Deuteronomy chapter 5 also speaks of the Ten Commandments, but with a little bit different twist on it, if you will. Verse 15, here's the difference. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that thou the Lord thy God brought thee thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. So we see here that this particular commandment not only recognizes God as Creator, it allows us to recognize God as Redeemer. The children of Israel were admonished and reminded and charged to remember that God brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, redeemed by the blood of the firstborn. The plague upon Egypt, plague after plague after plague, came upon the Egyptians. And the final plague was the killing of the firstborn of Egypt. This is God's blood covenant of redemption. It teaches that we cannot save ourselves, but we must be saved by the blood. Just as Israel could not deliver themselves or save themselves from Egypt, God had to deliver them by blood. By the shedding of the firstborn of Egypt, Pharaoh bowed his knee and allowed the children of Israel to be set free. This is redemption by blood. Redemption by blood. When the children of Israel had used the lamb's blood during this particular plague, they had to cover the doorposts, top and side. They had to protect themselves by trusting in the blood covenant, by trusting that God would redeem them by blood. And as the shedding of the firstborn took place, all they that were under the blood in their own homes were protected. For the Bible says that when God saw the blood, He would pass over. That was the feast of Passover, a covenant by blood. as that innocent lamb was shed, it was a picture of the Lamb of God being shed for our sins, Jesus Christ, as they were trusting in the blood, not in their own works. This can apply to us today, that we are to trust in the blood, and when we take time to honor the Sabbath day, it allows us to remember God as Redeemer. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For as much as you know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." This teaches that we did not save ourselves, but it was Jesus Christ's blood shed on our behalf, that He bore our sins on the cross, that He bore our death penalty for us. And as we believe on Him, that He died for our sins and rose from the dead, then we are saved. And the Bible says that we are bought with a price. We are not our own, but bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus Christ gave us His life for a ransom. The Bible says that on that Passover night, Jesus quoted and said, "This is the blood of the New Testament, which I shed for you." He shed His blood that we may be redeemed, that we may be purchased, that our sins may be forgiven. The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Leviticus 17 and 11. So this particular Sabbath has a meaning to it. Cease from our labors and stop and celebrate recognizing God as Redeemer. That word Redeemer or redemption or redeemed, those family of words are throughout the entire scriptures, Old and New Testament. The book of Psalms, Exodus, Ruth, Job, Revelation, all speaks of God as being our Redeemer in terms of saving our soul with a blood covenant. Point number three, this particular Sabbath commandment teaches us to cease from our labors and celebrate God. Celebrate Him. They did this back in the Old Testament in a number of feasts. They would cease from their labors, and on these particular Sabbaths, they would have particular feasts that would point to Jesus Christ and at the same time celebrate God. The Feast of Passover celebrates where they were delivered from Egypt with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. And that particular Passover points to Jesus Christ as being the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was a Passover feast celebrating Jesus Christ and celebrating God. Other feasts they had, like the Feast of First Fruits, celebrated the harvest being given by God, His loving provision for His people, but it also pointed to Jesus Christ, for He was resurrected on the Feast of First Fruits. He is called Christ the First Fruits in the book of 1 Corinthians. So we see here that it was a time to cease from their labors. There was more than one Sabbath. There were plenty of Sabbaths. And the charge was for the children of Israel to cease from their labors and celebrate God. To cease from their labors and celebrate through the feasts, the pointing to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. A time to cease from their labors and by faith celebrate God. And that's why there was a death penalty attached to the fourth commandment, as it was to all the commandments. Numbers chapter 15, Leviticus chapter 24 teaches examples of how individuals suffered the death penalty for not celebrating the Sabbath. Why? Because their heart was not trusting in the coming Messiah. Remember, keeping the Sabbath was an opportunity to stop, cease from our labors, and to celebrate God, and to point to the coming of Christ. So when they cease from their labors, They celebrated God in the feast of Passover. Not only were they celebrating that God delivered them from Egypt by blood, but also pointed to the coming Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ. You see, we look back on the cross for salvation the same way they look to faith forward to the cross. We look back on the Redeemer, back on the Messiah, back on the Deliverer, back on Jesus Christ coming on that day where He gave His life for the sins of the world. And they look forward to the Deliverer coming, forward to the Messiah, forward to the Redeemer, forward to the Lamb of God coming. That's why Abraham was able to be obedient and be prepared to give his only begotten son. Why? Because he knew by faith that God would raise his own son from the dead in order to fulfill his promise that the Messiah would come through the seed of his own son. So to fulfill the promise of God's word, Abraham knew that God would have to raise Isaac from the dead to fulfill the Messiah to come. So Abraham was known as the father of faith. He trusted in God's word and knew that the Messiah was to come, even if God had to raise his own son from the dead to fulfill the seed to come. That's why they ceased from their labors, celebrated the Sabbath day in terms of the feasts, celebrating God, and looking forward to Jesus Christ and his coming. Point number four, this particular Sabbath commandment is very important. It's very important also not to cause division. It's very important not to cause any dichotomy in the body of Christ. For example, some individuals celebrate on Saturday. Some individuals celebrate on Sunday. Some people celebrate during the week. This allows us to have the freedom of not being burdened down with one particular day, but to make our own Sabbaths where we cease from our labors and celebrate God. Romans chapter 14 teaches us that we should not look to an only day to serve God, but to have freedom to serve God any day. Romans chapter 14, verse 5 and 6 says, "One man esteemeth one day above another. Another man esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind." Verse 6, "He that regardeth the day, regardeth unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it." So, in other words, if an individual wants to celebrate Jesus Christ on Sunday, they have the freedom to do that. If they want to celebrate Jesus Christ on Friday, they can do that as long as they celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. Traditionally, and according to the scriptures, we celebrate on Sunday because it's the Lord's resurrection day. It was a day that the apostles and others gathered through the book of Acts. But we have the freedom to also enjoy a personal walk with God 7 days a week, and to celebrate Him individually or corporately with others any day of the week. This is the freedom that we have. Jesus Christ said the same thing in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, that the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Jesus Christ healed on the Sabbath. Jesus Christ delivered on the Sabbath. Jesus Christ saved on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not a restriction not to do anything. A Sabbath is a ceasing from our labors so we can celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ, to celebrate God. The book of Colossians also teaches this. In chapter 2, verse number 16 begins it, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days." In other words, we are not to be judged by others for what particular Sabbath day we choose. Remember, in the Old Testament times, they had plenty of Sabbath days. Why? Because there were plenty of feasts that honored God and pointed to Jesus Christ. So just like at that time, they would cease from their labors And on particular Sabbaths, they would have an holy convocation. They would get together and celebrate God and look forward to the Messiah to come. We do the same thing here. We can cease from our labors and celebrate God on Sunday, or celebrate Him on a Wednesday night for Bible study, or celebrate Him on a Friday over the weekend revival. We have that freedom in Christ not to cause division with the Sabbath, but to allow us to have the liberty to cease from our labors and celebrate Him in an individual way and a corporate way. Some Christians have the misbelief that this particular commandment, keeping the Sabbath day, is not to do anything at all. But this particular commandment teaches us to cease from our labors and celebrate the Lord, not cease from our labors and vegetate. If that were the case, then all the hospitals would need to be closed. Police officers need to be brought off the streets. Firefighters need to be not working if that was the case. This particular commandment allows us to celebrate God. We learned today that this particular commandment allows us to celebrate God as Creator, where God ceased from His labors, where He rested on the Sabbath day. He rested on the seventh day, and He hallowed it, sanctified it. In other words, for individuals on that particular day to cease from their labors and recognize God as Creator. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. When we look at creation, it should point us to God, that there is a God, an awesome God, that there's such divine diversity in creation with the different textures and aromas and smells and sights. So much different divine diversity that only God could be a God that create this, and it points us to trusting and believing in Him through Jesus Christ. We also learn in point number two that this particular Sabbath allows us to recognize God as Redeemer. As the children of Israel were reminded to cease from their labors and to recognize that God delivered them from Egypt, from Egyptian bondage and slavery, with a outstretched arm and a mighty hand, that they were redeemed. They were redeemed by a blood covenant. God rained down plagues upon Egypt, and the final plague, the plague that was to kill the firstborn of Egypt, was a blood covenant, because they were protected in their homes when they put the lamb's blood over their doorposts. And as they trusted in the lamb's blood that were pointed to Christ, that pointed to the Messiah, they had faith looking forward to the Messiah as an atonement for their sins. They were covered in the blood. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. So it allows us to cease from our labors and recognize God as Redeemer, that we cannot save ourselves, that only a blood covenant can save us, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. For the Bible says we were not redeemed with silver and gold, we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. The Bible says He gave His life as a ransom, shedding His blood. The Bible says we are not our own. We were bought with a price. So this allows us to cease from our labors and to recognize God as Redeemer. And point number three, we learn that this particular Sabbath, along with other Sabbaths, were an opportunity to cease from our labors and celebrate. Cease and celebrate. To cease from our labors and to celebrate God. Just like in the Old Testament, they had feasts where on particular Sabbaths, they would cease from their labors and celebrate God by faith looking forward to the Messiah. And finally, point number four, we learn that this particular commandment should not bring division within the body of Christ, but it should bring us together in unity. In other words, we learn that there's no restriction in serving the Sabbath or in honoring the Sabbath. There's no restriction, for Jesus Christ healed on the Sabbath, delivered on the Sabbath, saved on the Sabbath. He forgave on the Sabbath. And Jesus Christ said the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. We are not to be judged by what particular day we use as a Sabbath, therefore, for we have the freedom to celebrate God on Sunday, to cease from our labors and celebrate God on Thursday, or on Saturday, or on Tuesday. It's a ceasing from our labors in order to what? Celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from His loving kindness, I invite you to pray with me today this prayer of salvation or this prayer of rededication. Won't you bow your head and close your eyes and pray with me this prayer? Repeat after me. Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised Him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.